name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today is New Year's Day for the Christian year, for the liturgical year. This is the first Sunday in Advent, and so we see this as the beginning of the church year. And so the theme that we get out of the gospel lesson is to be on guard, to be alert, because something's happening. Something's happening. I remember years ago on NBC, on the commercials that were running during the day, they were running commercials to promote people watching the nightly news, and the byline that they were using on that ad was, "The world's complicated. It's our job to make sense of it. That's what we do." I don't hear that byline anymore. I don't know how anybody could profess that they're going to make sense of it. It just isn't that realistic to do. The truth is that our daily life includes events that just don't make sense. And when we look at the nightly news and the kind of conflict that there is, not only in the political scene, but just the violence in the streets and acts of terrorism around the world, we've, it seems, lost the ability to engage in civil discourse. I had a conversation about that yesterday with some friends in Salinas, that we just seem to have lost that ability to engage in civil discourse. In the context of all the issues that can pull us down and that can wear us out, there's a message in the season of Advent that offers us hope. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, for us to look at these readings. It's not that often that the Old Testament, the Epistle, and the Gospel actually match together, but they really do add up today to give us a sense of that message of why is Advent an important way to start the year? Why is it important for us to designate it as its own season? The word itself, Advent, comes from a Latin word that means to come. And so it's setting in place this theme of us anticipating that there is something coming. And there's really three dimensions to that sense of something coming during these 4 weeks that lead up to Christmas Day. The first is the pretty obvious one of Jesus coming on Christmas morning. So that's one obvious meaning. Another is that Jesus has made an offer for his Spirit to come into our hearts every new day. And every day is a new day. And we can put away whatever went well or didn't go well yesterday and start a new day today, knowing that our Lord's Spirit lives in us. And the third is that he is coming in glory at the end of the age. And so there's a sense that we are now in an age that will end. It's not going to stay like this forever. And that there is a new time, a new era, a new age that is to come. And when that does come, our Lord Jesus is going to be in the middle of it. And so it tells us, these things tell us when something's coming. There are these three time frames of a coming. And then when we look at the lessons for today, we can get a sharper sense of what it is that's coming. What is it that Advent is saying will be made known to us? The first lesson was from the prophet Jeremiah, and he lived around 600 BC. He was in Judah, and Judah was going through real turmoil at that time. King Josiah had put in place a very active reformation of the worship of our Lord God. And so things were going very well for Israel. Then there were two kings following, Jehoiakim and Zedekiah, who both really reversed that reform. They undid the reform. And they were allowing pagan worship to be mingled along with the worship of God. Well, a prophet would not settle for that very well. And so he was teaching and writing about God's plan to set things right, that Judah would be going through some very hard times. But at the end of those hard times, there would be restoration of the relationship with God. and there would be new life. And that's exactly what happened. And so what we see then is the first message of Advent, that our God does bring us new life. We don't have to settle for what we think has not gone well, because we always have a new opportunity for a renewed relationship with God. The second word comes from Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica. This is a church he really loved, and he was writing to them just 2 years after he had founded the church. It was only 2 years old when this letter was written, and they were nervous. And what they were nervous about was that they assumed Jesus would be back after his ascension into heaven within a few days. And the few days became a month. And the month became a few years. And they were very concerned what was going to happen to their loved ones who had passed away without Jesus' return. And so they had been asking Paul the question, well, what's going to happen to them? And Paul's letter, and especially this part that we read today, was to assure them and to let them know that Jesus will return and he will come to meet those who have already passed away, and he would be with them. And so the second message of Advent is one of assurance that God really is who God says God is, and that God loves us beyond measure, and that eternal life is a reality, and that Jesus will be there to bring us to him. So the third one is from Luke 21. And this sounds very apocalyptic when you read it. And it could be read as being scary and filled of unknown. But it was really Jesus talking about the end time of this era we live in now, and describing that this life is only one step in yours and my existence. There's more to come. The end of the age brings redemption. It's not the end. It's an opportunity for there to be new creation and a new relationship with God that results when the end of that age, this age comes. And so Jesus is explaining that this age will come to an end so that something new can begin. This leads to three dimensions for us to look at Advent. The first is for Jesus' birth on Christmas Day as a cause for us to celebrate, knowing that God loves us so much that he sent us his Son. The second is that Jesus is coming into our hearts every day. And so this means that it is possible for you and me to accomplish more, to be more, to do more than we could ever accomplish on our own. And so if we feel we're up against limits that seem insurmountable, we have access to the throne. We have access to Jesus to ask for that empowerment and to have it fulfilled in his way. The third is that the coming at the end of the age is a cause for us to celebrate during Advent, because this will be the end to wars. It'll be the end to people doing physical or psychological harm to others. It's the end to hunger and the end to suffering. So where does this all lead us? In my sense of Advent, it's saying our Creator is a Creator who doesn't stop creating. Creation happens every day, and it happens every new day. And we have an opportunity to be participants in it, not just observers. We can engage in that those acts of creation. So while we're working on our Christmas shopping and our Christmas parties and preparations for parties and having Christmas spirit during this time, I think we can see from what we have read today, this is a story of God's love for all of humankind and about us being restored to wholeness, about us being redeemed as God's children and being given new life, new life. So what better day is it than this for us to have a baptism? Because isn't that all about new life? It's about a new spiritual life. And so how exciting that Rafi's baptism would be chosen to be on the first Sunday of Advent. So we got a whole season here celebrating new life. And it starts out with our being able to honor Rafi and to take part in his rite of baptism. So we're very honored that we've been allowed to do that. And I'm excited that we get at it. So let's get at it. And so, again, the byword for this season, be on guard, be alert, something is happening. It's Advent. Amen.